Everywhere around this burg, they're running out of verbs, adverbs and adjectives. Everywhere around this town, they're running out of nouns, they're running out of nouns.
The name of the book is Let's Bring Back the Lost Language Edition, a collection of forgotten yet delightful words, phrases, praises, insults, idioms, and literary flourishes from eras past. Leslie Bloom is the author. Leslie, thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate it.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
What brought you to this particular subject, given that this is a bit of a series, Let's Bring Back?
So Let's Bring Back, as you say, is a series, and it started with a general encyclopedia that I wrote, which came out in 2010, and it celebrated all kinds of delightful but forgotten personalities, foods, fashions, words from bygone eras. And I loved the word aspect of the material so much that we decided to devote an entire volume of a Let's Bring Back edition to celebrating idioms that have been lost from bygone eras.
What is it about those words, about those phrases, about those idioms that are, as you say, forgotten yet delightful?
Well, they're just so clever, and they also tell so much about the time, you know, in from which they came. So much about language, really, it's about group identity. I mean, if you're, you know, you're in a gang, if you're in a certain ladies who lunch club, you know, if you're in the South, if you're in the North, I mean, it just tells so much about, you know, who you are and what your community is like and, you know, what your values are. And terms of expression have always fascinated me my entire life. I have a partly British education and in the UK. It's verbal banter is high art and a blood sport, and it just was something that really drew me to it, and I had the most wonderful time researching this book.
There are guest contributions in the book as well.
There are. I reached out to about 36 philosophers, writers, journalists, playwrights, screenwriters, you know, people of from literary backgrounds with very interesting minds, and I asked each person if you could bring back one word or phrase, what would it be? And we had some, you know, very colorful responses. And I mean, there was some, you know, some basic fare in there. For instance, one of our guest contributors, the editor of the prestigious magazine, the Paris Review, said, "I would like to bring back people, you know, when people say dear as a salutation and a letter." Another person said, "I would like to bring back the word cunning, you know, used as a way to describe maybe, you know, a clever hat or that kind of thing." Somebody else wanted to bring back the phrase druthers, you know, what are your druthers, what do you prefer? And it was very interesting to see, you know, people from different backgrounds, you know, what they wanted to bring back, as opposed to just my own, you know, sublimely idiosyncratic choices for the book.
And for certainly for those examples that you just gave, what I find many of these to have in common is that they're fun to say.
That was actually a really important aspect of the book for me. I mean, there's so much mischief in a lot of phraseology from bygone eras, and I really made an effort to include words that sounded like what they mean. And I have, for instance, I have a whole page devoted just to synonyms, old-fashioned synonyms for the phrase nonsense. And these words really sound just so fun. I mean, so miff-maff, rimble-ramble, poppycock, hornswoggle. I mean, so imagine somebody, you know, wandering into your office and saying, you know, "I'm going to be, you know, a couple of days late with that report I promised you yesterday." And you can say, "What tilly-vally, you know, or fiddle-faddle, you know, you'll have that report to me today." You know, so it was, again, really quite a joy to find all of these words that really sound like what they mean.
You mentioned fiddle-faddle, but fiddlesticks is one of my favorites. How did these words, do you think, become lost in the first place?
Well, it's so funny. You never really know why some things fall out of fashion and some things stay in fashion. You know, in language, like anything else, you know, it's action, you know, people have reactions against things. Things, you know, actively fall out of favor because they get tired, you know. So, for instance, the word groovy, we don't say that anymore because it just seems hopelessly outdated. But then there are some phrases, you know, that get carried on for centuries, like, you know, get out of the wrong side of the bed. And nobody ever seemed to rebel against that. It just, for some reason, I guess, never felt old-fashioned to anybody. And so it's still in play. So it's kind of a, we don't really have the answers as to why, you know, some of these totally delightful phrases go away. But the fact is that they do, and it makes rediscovering them just so much more delightful.
How much of it is genetic? I mean, I'm a 45-year-old man who had older parents. I was the youngest of five. So I still refer to the refrigerator as an icebox. I don't know why, but I do. So I find myself as a 45-year-old guy using terms like no good, Nick, because I grew up hearing them. So isn't that a way of keeping them alive in many respects?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, a lot of it comes down to personal preference. I mean, you might just really love a word like icebox. I think that's hilarious. And, you know, so for me, I grew up hearing the word horse feathers, you know, which means, you know, again, another word for nonsense. Or mollycoddle, which is, you know, an old-fashioned word for somebody who, you know, overly babies a kid. You know, and God knows there's a lot of mollycoddling that goes on these days. So it really just, you know, a lot of it depends on, you know, what resonates with you personally. You know, is the word delightful? Does it have personal, you know, fond memories for you? Do you remember your mother saying it, your grandmother saying it? So, I mean, the words kind of, you know, stay alive in that way. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we will all use old-fashioned phrases, you know, that we just don't have any idea where we first heard them. But they just have always seemed to have been part of our vocabularies. And they have been part of people's vocabularies for generations, but they just sort of sneak in. You know, and a lot of this book, it celebrates a lot of old-fashioned phrases like that, stuff that's still around and could possibly be endangered just because they are old-fashioned. But, you know, the book also really contains a lot of genuinely lost and arcane vocabulary. So it's a mix of both of those things that may have been kept alive, you know, through affectionate daily use, and then things that just fell out of that affectionate daily use.
You mentioned a moment ago about how terms are often outdated, and you wouldn't use groovy as much because people would think of it as hopelessly outdated. But there's also you can find yourself when you use them, again, maybe not even consciously, you use them because you grew up with them. But I find myself like using a word like shilly-shally, and people respond to it. Like they'll stop and say, oh, shilly-shally, I like that.
Of course. And, you know, I think that there are so many mass market things that we do today. I mean, we all, you know, clothes you can buy everywhere. I mean, people all wear, you know, Gap or mass market this or mass market that. But then if you have a really, you know, specific old-fashioned vocabulary, it kind of stops people in their tracks. I mean, it's, you know, anybody who uses a really clever old-fashioned phrase or says something unusual or expresses something in an unusual way, it's a very arresting way to differentiate yourself. And people really used to place a high priority on, you know, these kinds of self-distinguishing, highly creative expressions. And, you know, there are certain periods of time, for instance, where that seems to be especially true, like the 1920s, you know, had the most intensely creative group of expressions ever. And then, you know, in the mid 1800s, and then you go back to, you know, Shakespeare's time. I mean, some of the insults and phrases that come out of that period of time seemed, you know, lavishly creative. So it's a cyclical thing also. I mean, that there are just periods of time when people tend to be really individualistic and very memorable in the way that they express themselves.
Well, the book is an awful lot of fun and physically beautiful. It's beautifully put together. Let's Bring Back the Lost Language Edition, a collection of forgotten yet delightful words, phrases, praises, insults, idioms, and literary flourishes from eras past. It is published by Chronicle. Leslie Bloom, thank you very much for sharing with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Let's Bring Back the Lost Language Edition. It's published by Chronicle. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.